It's time for the Cinema Geekly Podcast, episode 64. I'm Anthony Lewis.
And I'm Aaron De La Osa.
I'm Glenn Beauvais.
I'm Cody Kelly.
And thanks for checking us out on CinemaGeekly.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, and Tumblr, also at Cinema Geekly. The podcast, as always, every single week, maintains its freeness and ease of availability thanks to people like ThinkGeek.com. Aaron, are you gearing up for some ThinkGeek purchases in the near future here? Because
I try to hold off as long as I can, because I could literally go and buy something there every day. Mm-hmm. So I try usually about every 90 days I'll go plowing through and decimate my checking account for a little bit just to get some cool stuff. The latest one they got this new Doctor Who T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Is it the Doctor is in?
The
shirt?
Doctor is in one. Yeah. Damn it.
I mean if that's what you're looking at, they got. I'm staring at these Star Trek original series pillows.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I saw those too.
A Superman diaper bag, or if Jurassic Park is your thing, they have a mosquito in amber.
Now I would think the Green Lantern would be better as a diaper bag, just based on the last movie. I think Superman should be like a
island on that film
or something you would love so much.
How many years has it been? And Aaron will still pile on that flick. Basically we've got a pretty sizable server cost every month, and this is a way you, the listener, can help out without actually spending any extra money. If you're just shopping ThinkGeek anyway, just click the banner on the website and shop using that link. And ThinkGeek,
or if you're just going to go there and browse,
yeah, ThinkGeek, if you want to go there, and
gives us a back end on that just by clicking the link itself and visiting the site.
Yeah, you know. They are ThinkGeek and their colorful, adorable monkey mascot are kind enough to swipe some extra pennies our way if you just
Indeed.
Click over there and browse. So every little bit literally helps.
I do that while I do the number twos. I'll just look at stuff on their page via ours, so every little bit helps.
I got a couple of things in relation to email that I want to tackle first real quick. I'm not going to dip into the mailbag this week because it is empty. As somebody pointed out to me, not the original person who wrote the email, mind you, which leads me to think they may not have actually listened to the podcast. But we were talking about all the people who wrote in last week, and we mentioned that one of the emails was from Aaron's neck of the woods, because Aaron used to live in the Pacific Northwest. It was Washington State, right? Or was it Oregon where you lived? I don't
Washington
remember.
State.
Washington State. Mm-hmm. And somebody emailed me in and said, you never read an email from that. And when I went back and looked, they were correct. completely blew that last question up. Completely blew that last question off. We were going way over time by the time we got to that last question, and I it wasn't on purpose. Like I looked at the I was looking at the time, and I'm like, whoa, we're way over. And then right after we finished the discussion on whatever it was we were talking about, I don't remember the question we were on, but you know, I moved right to the box office stuff so we could close out the show, completely just glossing over this guy's question. So I want to get to it now, and I don't even have the original email, but I do remember the question because I deleted
some dickhead in Washington apparently.
No, it was from Sean. Sean without an H, and I know I'm going to butcher the name of the city now because I thought I was going to butcher it when I had it right in front of me, but I want to say it was East Wenatchee, Washington. Aaron,
Wenatchee.
Is this a Wenatchee? This is a place?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Is there a West Wenatchee? Like where all the violent crime is?
I know. As long as I lived in Washington State, I always tried to crush the East-West Wenatchee beef the best I could, because it got pretty hardcore there at one point.
There you go.
Pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
A lot of rap battles.
I remember the.
I wrestled out Wenatchee a bit.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah, PWB out there.
Maybe there is a someone there who remembers you.
Oh, I highly, highly doubt that.
The you're like, there were six people there, so I.
Right.
The
yeah.
No. The I remember the email. For the most part, he was very flabbergasted that somebody had once wrote in and asked why we don't talk about sports more often. With I believe the premise was that because sports are on TV. And we talk about TV, we talk about sports more often. His goal, in this question was to alleviate that original listener's question, and he wanted to know what we thought was the best sports film of all time. So there Ooh. You go. Yeah, so we'll mull that over real quick before we go into the week that was in movies and TV. Aaron, do you have a favorite sports movie? Ready to Rumble, perhaps?
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Fucking David Arquette, man. The WCW champion. Let's throw that up. Oh, Christ. For me, it's got to be the original Longest Yard or Brian's Song.
Okay. Glenn, do you have a favorite sports movie of all time? The Mighty Ducks 3, perhaps?
Emilio!
No, probably like Tin Cup.
Really?
Yeah, I really like Tin Cup.
Okay. Cody, do you got a favorite?
This would have been something I would much rather have had a little bit of time to think about, but right off the top of my head, I'd probably go... Shit. For the Love of the Game, maybe?
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's another Kevin Costner and Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, movie. Absolutely. That's an underrated film in the pantheon of the Kevin Costner baseball trilogy. That was actually going to be my answer. My answer was take a baseball and put it in Kevin Costner's hand and then put a camera in front of him, and that's my favorite sports movie. I liked all three of his baseball
Field films. Of Dreams.
Yeah, Field of Dreams, Bull Durham. Bull Run. I'm thinking of the Civil War baseball movie, you guys.
Entirely different ending on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. A much sadder ending than Bull Durham. And
I don't know, man. For love of the game. Have you seen what Tim Robbins looks like nowadays? That was kind of a sad ending.
I don't see a lot of sports movies. If there's baseball in it, I've probably seen the movie, but outside of that, I don't watch a lot of sports.
Slapshot was great because you got to see.
Oh yeah,
mom.
Slapshot, fantastic.
The mom from A Christmas Story, you get to see her tits. That was jarring. Because it's such a beloved Christmas, and all of a sudden it's just like, hey, here's my giant knockers for you to look at. Think about that instead of the pink bunny slippers from now on.
It's a prestigious award, Aaron, is what.
Oh my God, they were so prestigious, Jesus.
So let's talk about what happened last week. Nothing new on the website. Nothing in the way of reviews. I would have got the X-Men trailer up had I noticed it sooner, but I had not. So that's not up on the website. So nothing new on the website this week, but plenty of stuff to talk about that ended up on Facebook.com/CinemaGeekly and as a result, Twitter.com/CinemaGeekly as well. Those 11 minutes of Captain America the Winter Soldier that Aaron found for us last week en Espanol, he now found in English.
Yes.
Are they? Do we still know if it's up on the Russian Facebook equivalent? No. According, it's apparently
no,
it's down now. Yeah,
it is down. Yeah, it was put up pretty quickly. So I mean, automatically, you know, it's pretty funny as you said. I found the first one in Spanish, and then the second one I found in English, but on a Russian hosting website. So there was some footwork there involved in that. But I watched it twice in Spanish and then once in English. I mean, it's legitimate, like in my opinion. And it sets a really good tone for the rest of the film, given what we know already.
So, yeah, but it was at least it was easier to watch in context. It was still great. It was, you know, greater than we're now able to understand it. But, yeah, it's essentially – it's the exact same thing, isn't it? I don't think there's anything different.
Nope, from just the language. That's about it.
The Spanish version. The Variety put out some news that that Disney pooped out their way. Apparently, you guys, I'm sure, are excited for a third Cars movie. If Cars 1 and 2 were not enough for you. Cars 3, Aaron, I'm sure you're just dying to see, right? No? Come on! Cody, you like animated movies, right?
Yeah.
Cars 3, come on.
Hopefully it's better than Planes.
Well, Planes, not to be confused with Cars. Apparently completely unrelated to each other, those movies.
Sorry, I was trying to figure out a way to correctly answer that question, since I do love Disney for what they're doing with Marvel. It's just... Oh, I could give three flying fucks about this.
Yeah, I'm just, Glenn, I'm thinking, you've caught on to this, I'm sure. I'm not cutting to the chase fast enough. The real important news is that they finally announced a sequel to The Incredibles, which was actually a really good Pixar movie that should have gotten sequels ahead of everything else. But I'm guessing, I don't know, you tell me, Glenn, was it because they didn't sell enough toys, or what was the reason this movie didn't get a sequel, but we got a fucking truckload of Mater movies?
Because John Lasseter made Cars. That's the only reason I can think of, is John Lasseter runs, well, he runs Disney Entertainment now, but whenever he was with Pixar, I mean, I guess he still runs it, but he made Cars. That was his baby. That's what he wanted to make when he was on a road trip. Instead of making Toy Story 2, he wanted to make Cars. And when he came back and saw that Toy Story 2 was a complete mess, he fixed it in like 6 months, and that's the movie we got. And then he went ahead and started making Cars. I mean, that's what happened. He Cars is his thing. That's what he loves. So when you kind of run the company, you kind of get the side what gets greenlit pretty fast. And if someone says, hey, want to make a thing of Cars? Oh, yeah, I want to divulge more in that universe. So,
I mean, at least we know he's not a deviant. Like, what if he really loved balls?
Right.
What kind of movies would they be churning out?
The first Cars wasn't even that bad. I don't want to shit entirely on it. It was definitely out of the...
It was okay.
Out of the crop of Pixar movies that had been out up until that point, it was easily the worst, I thought. But
No Green Lantern.
It was still fine. but Glenn, you a little bit excited for the Incredible sequel? For me, this is still one of my favorite superhero movies, like, ever. I really like The Incredibles. Is this something you're looking forward to?
Yeah, it's always been like something you'll see on the internet and websites about The Incredibles. Generally, it's people's... I know in my generation, that's everybody's favorite. And then Toy Story 3. With The Incredibles, they talk about how it came out too early. Like, if it had come out right after, like, Iron Man or something, it'd probably be a much popular and bigger movie than what it was, because it missed that superhero wave by just 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. So now that everything's superhero, it makes sense. I know we've been waiting for it for a while. Yeah. So,
Cody, are you a fan of the first?
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I remember enjoying it when I saw it.
Yeah, same here. Aaron, I thought it was really great. You tell me you're not going to trounce all over this.
No, I liked it.
Okay. You're like, as far as cartoons go, of course.
Right. No, I really enjoyed it. You know, anything superheroes, of course, I'm going to have a need to see, but I was very surprised. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, it's very much like a kind of like a PG version of Watchmen, I guess. but done really well. I mean, it does follow Watchmen kind of, you know, I mean, not super close, but, you know, there's a lot of coincidences.
Well, I cannot wait for their version of the Black Freighter then.
Maybe we'll get that in Incredibles too. There will be an interweaving story that is also it'll be live action though. Instead of comic book, it'll be like a live action intercut.
Story. Shia LaBeouf of Holes.
Oh yeah, bring him back into that Disney family, Aaron. That's a good idea.
I'm telling you, man, somebody needs to help that guy out.
Get him back where he belongs, yeah. For all we know, he's still sitting in that room with people telling him how much he sucks, and he just stares at you and cries.
I just want to buy him a Go-Gurt and talk to him just to, you got to feel bad for the guy. Like, as much shit as he's brought upon himself, like, man, just that whole scene of that art project he did, good Lord. The amount of abuse that guy took over the course of a few days, most people will probably never experience in a lifetime.
No, probably.
Yeah, but he did, like, do it to himself. I mean, he's the one who put himself in that room.
Yeah, but you know he was rock hard the entire time that was going down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they had to replace a table. He drilled so many holes through him, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. it's not really newsworthy, but if you find your life is in need of a change and you don't know exactly what to do, I suggest you go to the Facebook page and watch that supercut of Christopher Walken dancing to Everybody Dance Now, or gonna make you sweat. If you need a pick me up, you know what I mean? You're having a bad day, just go watch Christopher Walken dance to 90s techno for about 2 minutes and you'll feel so much better.
Oh my God, so great.
He's a great, great man, right?
Indeed.
In fact, I love this video so much, Glenn. I don't know about you, man, but I was inspired to go watch the God, who was that group he did the music video with? A long time ago. It's one of those another one of those techno groups.
The song was Weapon of Choice.
Weapon of Choice. Yeah, Fatboy Slim. Yeah, I went and watched that video as well because it doesn't count as one of his movies, but it's just the whole video is just him dancing. So yeah, I was thoroughly inspired. Did this this help you along in any way, Glenn? Is this are you looking at life differently now? Flowers smell a little sweeter. No?
Yeah, I'm just glad that exists in the world. Oh, okay. And then, well, then it was followed by Kevin Bacon opening up Footloose for Tonight Show. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good week of celebrities dancing that weren't on Dancing with the Stars.
Right, right. Thank you.
R.I.P. Chris Penn.
Thank you for the caveat thrown in there.
I love like Chris, man. Chris Penn. He really could have been something.
Oh God, he could have been. He was phenomenal. Name one bad performance he had in any film he was in. You can't do it. He was great.
I mean, yeah, he was great. Reservoir Dogs, Beethoven 2, Rush Hour.
Sure, go.
Well, you got to pick out a couple of the bad ones.
Yeah, I didn't say he was bad. I mean, yeah, he probably made bad choices, but I mean, obviously, he made bad choices. He's dead because of a drug addiction, but. You know, he had talent.
Like, obviously, he made some bad choices, given that he's no longer alive.
Too bad he wasn't addicted to vagina like his brother. He'd still be around.
Well, I also think Sean Penn's biggest addiction is being a douche. I don't think he can quite get away from that.
I don't know if that's so much an addiction, but like a religion.
Yeah.
Those aren't the same thing?
I think Sean Penn's plan to destroy the world through douchiness is he's got a closet full of Affliction t-shirts he's just waiting to put on.
And yeah, those jeans have the crosses on them and a bunch of Ed Hardy underwear.
Oh, shit. There you go.
Cans of Axe body spray as far as the eye can see.
The world will explode.
And nothing but GNC whey protein for meals. That's all he does.
It's like the
CrossFit. He's a big CrossFitter.
It's like
the Sean Penn.
It's like the douchebag version of those guys who like stock up ammunition and shit for the end of the world.
He's a douchebag prepper.
Yeah, he's a douchebag prepper. That's a new show, A&E. Get at us for that one. Let's get some royalties on that.
You deserve a credit for that. Holy shit.
I mean, he told Trey Parker and Matt Stone they don't have the right to the First Amendment because they made fun of him. He's just a douche.
I take umbrage with that anyway. Let's just clear this up. I know this is a movie podcast, but just for everybody who's confused and didn't take a civics class or a government's class, freedom of speech only extends to the government. You can speak out against the government and they can't jail you for it. That's where it ends. So shut the fuck up about freedom of speech. It doesn't exist past that point. Okay, let's move on to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that wasn't on last week. But instead, Aaron, we were treated to something great. I thought for sure this was just going to be a bunch of fluff, and it was for most of it. It was just like, look how great we are. We went from nothing, and you know, basically, if you watch the special features on every Marvel Blu-ray, you've seen this. But about the last 10 to 15 minutes or whatever were fantastic because they showed us all sorts. Walk us through this a little bit. Handhold us through. What they gave us at the end of this non-episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They gave us a lot of concept art, a lot of behind-the-scenes, shots of action shots from Guardians of the Galaxy and Captain America the Winter Soldier we hadn't yet seen. But the really interesting stuff was in the production art, the production stills we saw, the concept art we saw. We saw Hulkbuster and Hulk fighting on the streets, and we know from the set videos we posted a few weeks ago that, you know, we know Hulk is involved in a street fight wherever they were, Morocco or whatever, so obviously right there, Hulk and Hulkbuster are going at it. We also saw some concept art for Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, and we know that they stuck very true to those concepts in the pictures that we put on the Facebook page today of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch filming with Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye.
Yep.
And during one of the commercial spots for for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., when they showed the clairvoyant hooked up to all that stuff, yeah. I think right there they essentially confirmed his identity can only, in my opinion, can only be, you know, one of two guys. So it's goddamn, it was a very exciting special. And also, they showed you right away for Guardians of the Galaxy. In the comic books they were showing for reference materials, mm-hmm. they showed an issue of Nova number one. So, I mean, you know, right away, you know, people had suspected Nova was going to be in the movie, but, I mean, why would they show, you know, the Nova standalone number one issue without Nova himself being in it? So, oh, my God. So pumped.
Don't blue ball us here, Aaron. Who are the one of the two people you think the clairvoyant could be?
Either the leader, okay. Or I think he could be Arnim Zola.
And if it's the leader, is it going to be the guy who was in the Ed Norton Hulk movie? Because I know they were certainly teasing that.
I really hope so. I mean, from all the stuff he was hooked up to, leaned back, I mean, he had a bunch of tubes coming into his head. I mean, there was like a bunch of monitors he was watching. Like the leader, I mean, that's the leader from the comic books, in my opinion. That's it. Like full bore, like holy shit, like, you know, that's him.
They certainly did tease it in the Hulk movie, but then never again mentioned it. So if they come all the way around
right.
from that Ed Norton Hulk movie and make good on that tease, that's fucking amazing.
And they have to connect it because they use so much of that movie as canon. I mean, they can't leave off his biggest villain, especially with what we know is confirmed a bigger role in the Avengers 2 plus another standalone film in, you know, Phase 3 is very heavily rumored. So I think they're going to start bringing the Hulk to the forefront a little more to prepare everyone for his standalone movie.
Cody, did you get to see the show or get to see the concept art?
I've seen some of the pictures, but I didn't get to see the show.
Yeah, I don't know if it's – maybe it's just me, Aaron, but I saw them put up a lot of the concept art, but at least when I was looking – maybe they've done it now, but when I first looked at it, it didn't look like they put up the Hulkbuster versus Hulk concept art on the interwebs, which is weird because that was the thing that I was like the most excited to see. I thought that looked amazing.
Yeah, I thought it looked really good too.
They had a grip with a giant Iron Man hand for reference.
Yeah.
A giant Iron Man fist for a reference. And that goes along with the grips who are running around with a giant Hulk. Whatever it was, the head and the shoulders or whatever, running around with that on a stick.
Yeah, and that's the one that Joss Whedon was also like up against in in those behind the scenes pictures and all that. So yeah, it's there's a lot of good stuff coming.
There we go. And you sent me the link with it as well.
Just found it.
So that's awesome. Yeah, that is an awesome, awesome looking shot as well.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's enough. I think they confirmed.
But the real question is, I mean, is Tony actually going to be in the suit? Is it going to be someone else? I mean, there's a lot of stuff still, you know, left to be decided. So people might be getting down that we're seeing so much. But I mean, you know, we saw a ton of Captain America. We saw a ton of the first Avengers. I mean, right. There was still major, major surprises in both those movies. I mean, and the stuff I'm seeing is only getting me more and more excited. So, I mean, you know, God, show me new stuff every day. I'm still going to see the fucker like twice.
Were you surprised that they showed some of the Comic-Con Ant-Man footage? And that's essentially test footage.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to be – I think it's cool because they put it all in with all the concept art and stuff because I'm guessing that's probably not going to be the final look for Ant-Man. Given that it was all, you know, test footage just for like a proof of concept that they were doing.
If they think they can improve upon what they did just in the little test footage we saw, right. I'll be amazed.
It looked
what
great.
I saw
yeah.
was, yeah, that was Ant-Man fresh off the page, in my opinion. Yeah, it looked awesome.
The episode of Arrow we got with the Suicide Squad was also pretty darn good episode, I thought. Cody, did you have any thoughts on the most recent episode of Arrow?
I was kind of actually surprised that they did the little tease with Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that on that show, but the overall the whole show was really good, and it was kind of a nice change of pace that it was so John Diggle heavy.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of good stuff I thought between him and Deadshot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with their history and everything, I thought it was a pretty good show.
Yeah, it was very light, not a lot of Oliver Queen stuff on the last, because it was mostly him just like, how am I going to beat Slade, you know what I mean? It was kind of like his, like the whole episode was essentially that. It's like, I can't find him, I can't beat him, and you want, you know, Black Canary's like, I'll help you. And he's like, fuck that. It's a stupid idea. And then eventually he's like, you know what? You're right. I need your help.
Well, I thought the stuff that they did with the little teases of Deathstroke too, like seeing him in the background and then the head with the arrow through it. I thought all that stuff was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
For being such a small part of the show.
Yeah, it was great. Aaron, what do you think of the direction they're heading in here?
As far as the show goes, I love it. I mean, I have yet to see an episode of the show where I thought it was like, yeah, you know, where I had a feeling that left me like, oh my God, they're turning Smallville on it. But I mean, they've been very smart about it. I mean, you know, they got great writers. I mean, you know, they picked a pretty much unknown cast, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the show is wildly popular. I mean, you know, Stephen Amell is definitely capable of continuing on as Oliver in the DCU if they choose to use him in the movie. So it's, I hope they tie it together. I mean, much like, you know, why not follow the Disney Marvel blueprint of success by having the weekly TV show to carry? I mean, God, oh, they have to include it. I don't know why they wouldn't. Oh, I just wish they would give us some indication that, you know, yes, they're tied together.
Hey, Glenn, am I correct in thinking that you're still not watching either of these shows?
I watched the Assembly in a Universe, but no, I haven't watched any of this season of Arrow.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on. Before I want to get your thoughts on the
I get told every week, you need to get caught up. You need to get caught up. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I'm not, so.
Shut up. Was there anything that, I mean, obviously just concept art at this point, but was there anything that you thought looked good? Because I think we've seen the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver concept art. I think we saw that before somewhere, before they did this documentary thing. I think some images popped up somewhere, but were you pleased? Is it looking good to you? I didn't bother to look at the alternate versions of these characters in comparison. Which one looks better to you, Glenn? The Avengers version or the X-Men versions?
I think the Avengers one does look better. Mm-hmm. But the documentary as a whole, like you said, I didn't feel like it got much out of it. Like it was basically 35 minutes of everything I've already seen and known.
Right.
And then it was about 5 minutes of, so we're doing with Guardians. This is Captain America. This is that. And I'm like, this is not what they presented it as.
Right. Like I thought we were going to see all sorts of shit. Like they're going to show us some scenes from the movie maybe. Yeah, we didn't quite get
that. Oh, anything like that, but just more going into the blueprint of the future kind of thing.
Right.
Which I know they kind of saved that for the Disney Expos and Comic-Con. But they just kind of like – they made it sound like it was bigger than what it was going to be.
Right.
And I thought it was really funny that when they kept showing scenes from the Hulk, it didn't have Edward Norton in any of them.
No.
And my friend, he first watched it. He was like, yeah, they kept showing General Ross. I wonder what that's supposed to be. He's like, I think it's just that they didn't want to show Edward Norton and get people confused or start an internet thing again. I was like, that was the biggest thing I took away from it was they keep making sound like Hulk's going to be this big thing, but they want absolutely nothing to do with Edward Norton, even though he helped write the movie.
Well, I think it's just, yeah, they, you know, since Mark Ruffalo's doing it now and he's only done the one appearance. I think by and large, maybe they should just come out and say what I imagine in my brain, you guys, that if you just squint at the screen while you're watching the original Hulk and the Avengers, you can just pretend that Ed Norton and Mark Ruffalo are the same person. He just got a little bit grayer and packed on a few pounds and then just squint. And it's almost the same looking person. And then imagine that Ed Norton's throat got scraped or something and voice change. See, it works. You just have to imagine a lot of shit to get from
changing actors. Has never bothered me. Like,
no, it doesn't bother me either.
I thought the best thing about Iron Man 2 is right whenever Don Cheadle walks in and Tony Stark kind of looks at him like, wait, you're not supposed to. He's like, hey, I'm here. Deal with it. Yeah. I thought that was like one of the funniest things as far as dealing with casting changes.
Right.
So,
and the change for the better, I thought, actually. I really liked Don Cheadle in that role. So,
I like Don Cheadle too, but I think I don't know. I think Terrence Howard. I don't know. I think he's a little more intense, like a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he seemed more like someone who could, you know,
would be in the military.
Tony. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that for sure. Before we move on to the other thing, did either of you guys watch the 100, the show that debuted after Arrow this week? Did either of you guys watch that show?
No.
No, nobody. I watched it because it involved space for about 10 seconds. So I was in, but. I didn't make it through the whole episode, and it kind of felt like Hunger Games meets After Earth, and I was like, well, fuck this. It was...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It didn't seem terrible, but it's like, I don't have the... It's one of those shows where if I'm not immediately hooked and invested into it, this is not a good time for you to come at me with a show and be like, watch me every week, because you've got to get me, like, super invested right now, and I'm just like, okay, well... It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, and maybe if I gave it some time, it would be all right, but I've got 8 jillion other things I'm watching right now.
I can't dedicate a half an hour to something like I would maybe watch.
Right. Yeah, I don't have the time. You will be Netflixed somewhere in the years to come, perhaps. And I know that sucks, but, you know, that's just how it is. Now it's time to go into the Mirror Universe. Last week I was talking about how little I was enjoying that clip we saw from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and Aaron was like, no, I kind of like it. Now the roles are flipped as this X-Men Days of Future Past trailer came out, and I think it looks great, and Aaron is the one who was unimpressed.
Really?
So, Aaron, you first. Light the fires, sir. Dump some gasoline. What's not doing it for you? Are you literally like, this looks like shit, or are you just like, you know what? I'll go see it, but...
No, this looks like shit.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I had such high hopes for this movie, and then you start to feel a little bit of trepidation when you hear everything, what's going on with them cutting out Anna Paquin out of the movie altogether. Mm-hmm. The rumors of them cutting out Halle Berry, now they're coming out and saying they didn't cut her out. I mean, it's just, it seems like they're trying to shoehorn in way too much into this movie.
Right.
Just in order to get more mutants involved and make it seem like a bigger film than what it is. I mean... The inclusion of some of the newer mutants, like in the future, I get that. But just trying just to cram in to just throw in maybe two or three. They've got like 10 characters they're going to try to introduce, right. Let alone trying to carry the Wolverine story going back to the past and dealing with all that. And then with just how fucking goofy Quicksilver looks in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he should be at a rave somewhere.
Is he the guy with
but
the
a rave
emo-y?
Today, not when like raves are popular. He should be like at a rave right now, looking just like that shit. You put a candy necklace on that fucker's neck, man. He could fit in anywhere, like in Orlando.
Put a neon green pacifier in his mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
The worst. Oh my god. I have the feeling I have watching this trailer is the same goddamn feeling I had when Green Lantern was getting. It's making all the Green Lantern rage come right back to the top again.
Really? I didn't think it was nearly that. I thought the trailer looked really good, but it's not like it's on my list of movies that I want to see, but it's not near the top because I've also got that trepidation you've got where, you know, they definitely could be trying to do way too much in one
movie. It's starting to feel kind of Ratner to me. Like, that's what's going on here. Like, I don't think they're going to focus on the best. Oh, yeah.
Singer's not Ratner, though. I mean, at least in that regard. He's, you know, he's not a director that lights my world on fire either. But, you know, I think he's a lot better than Brett Ratner. But that
he is. But just, right. You know, this latest trailer just...
I mean, I'm worried, too, that they could be doing too much and trying to cram it into... to one movie, and obviously nobody's really going to know until we watch it, but
I'll still see it, but goddamn, yeah, my hopes aren't really high going in, so
you're not on the fence anymore, you're climbing down the fence.
I'm on the porch, man. I'm back, what, 40 feet away from the fence.
All right, Glenn, what'd you think?
I thought it looked really good.
Okay.
And I think, like, we all talk about the cast that's so big, like, I mean, even in the other X-Men movies, yeah, there's all the other characters, but, I mean, it's you come down to it, there really are, like, three main characters in the X-Men movies. My only thing with this one, and I was curious just to see how it would play out, it really looks like Mystique is going to be a huge character, and it makes sense just given Jennifer Lawrence's fandom that she would have a bigger role. And I think, as far as the editing goes, I really, in the story arc, I think that's what they're doing is they're trying to make it as much of a Jennifer Lawrence movie as they can make it.
Right.
As like second tier, like obviously it's going to be a Hugh Jackman movie. All of them are. And she'll be like the next person. And then it's going to focus on Magneto and Professor X. I just think the other characters, yeah, they're going to be there and it's going to be cool to see all the old cast, but
you think they just serve,
you could put in a fill-in actor and I don't think it would change anything. That's honestly what I think.
They're just serving for fight scene dressing essentially.
Yeah. They might get
a line or two and you know,
I mean, that's how the other X-Men goes. If they don't fill a purpose as far as main Wolverine story arc, they're just kind of there and you get to see Storm do some cool shit with Clouds. So I'm not too worried about the cast. One of his first movies is Usual Suspects, and that's a big, you know, it's a big ensemble cast. So I'm not really worried about him handling that. It does feel like they are trying to do too much as far as action goes. I feel like they're trying to do a little too much as far as the scale and fitting all these characters, because I don't think you can really have a great character story and just have a lot of action sequences. Like, I really like X-Men First Class, but it's kind of a boring movie when you actually watch it. I know the first time I thought it was boring, and the second time I was like, wow, this is really boring, but I still really enjoy it. It's a different type of superhero movie.
Right.
It's not a summer blockbuster.
It's your grandparents of superhero movies.
Well, yeah, it's not a summer blockbuster. It's like something that would come out in like October, trying to, you know, win some awards or something. Like it just kind of has that feel. It's probably more of it being a period piece, but I think it looks really good. I love the first trailer, and this one, yeah, it kind of worries me a little bit, but I'm still excited for it. I think it'll be something special. I just don't know how far they're going to go into all the back of the other characters.
Right. Cody. Okay. So what were your thoughts?
I think it looks great. Just at first, just from the visual standpoint from it, and it's cool to see, like, it's going to be hard to age Wolverine really well to be able to tell the big difference between, like, future Wolverine and then past Wolverine and all that.
Right.
But you got other stuff, too. James McAvoy looks fantastic as a guy who just got paralyzed by a woman he wants to bone and his best friend. Like, what that would do to you mentally.
And he totally has that exact look as well. Like, that's what someone would look like.
Just, yeah.
Not give
it looks like Lieutenant Dan. So.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It was really cool to see Magneto in, like, the full garb and the costume. I agree with Aaron. Quicksilver looks terrible.
Oh, fuck. It's horrendous.
The only concern I really have with it is how they're going to set it up story-wise, and the way I think they should do it is they should focus the first part, maybe not the complete first act, but just set in the future to set up what happened, why it's such a big deal, like the importance of sending someone back to the past to try to save all that. And then, like, the second into the third act is all that exposition and stuff and Wolverine coming back and trying to fix everything and just convince everybody what's going on without sounding like a crazy person who says he's from the future.
Right.
And then into the third act, the climax, obviously, and then probably at the end they're going to do some kind of a swerve or a tease as to what the changes actually were.
Right.
And as long as they don't jump back and forth too much between, like, the future and the past, I think it'll be good.
Well, you know, from the post-credits scene already, they're talking about they're bringing in Apocalypse. Like, that's where they're going with the franchise.
Yeah, well, for this movie, like I said, as long as they don't jump around too much and they kind of keep it as linear as they can with a time-traveling movie,
right?
I think it'll be good.
Let me see here. What else we got? Oh, yeah. Only about a million Avengers Age of Ultron shit that popped up.
Sorry.
No. I mean, that's good. No, the more the merrier. I'm just, you know... Is this going to send some sort of message to Marvel to, like, never film in Italy again? They start filming in Italy, and then all of a sudden videos popping up everywhere and high-res pictures and all this shit is coming, like, out of nowhere. You found it on Aos Te Sera, right?
Yeah.
Aiasta Sera is an Italian. I think it's like an entertainment site.
As far as I can tell, it is.
Yeah. As much as Google Translate would allow me to decipher. Right. The first thing you get, the first thing you found was somebody had shot some sort of action scene where there was shit blowing everywhere. And it was, I believe in the video, it was just a bunch of people running, and then they were followed up in short order by Scarlet Witch and Hawkeye.
Correct, sir.
Very quickly, though. That's kind of like all we really saw of them. And then from, I want to say it's from the same source, like their Twitter account, yep. A bunch of set photos showed up where we also got to see Quicksilver and somebody in what I presume is a stand-in for Ultron, I'm going to guess.
Yep.
He looked like he was wearing some sort of metal-y costume thing. So, yeah, Ultron, in case people hadn't figured it out originally, is going to be, I'm guessing, 100% CGI. I would presume.
Kind of like the Hulk stand-in thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There were a bunch of pictures. Did Glenn or Cody, did you guys get to look through all these pictures?
I think I got to look through most of them, if not all of them, yeah.
There's a ton of them from, what is it, Just Jared that you posted?
Jared got a lot of the really clear close-ups.
Yeah, there's a ton of really, like, fairly high-res shots. Aaron Taylor-Johnson looks pretty sweet as Quicksilver. He's definitely, he doesn't have the emo-y rave hair. It's silver.
He looks like a guy who could actually kick your ass and not, like, you know.
Right.
Some kid who should be mowing your lawn for Quaaludes.
What do you think of the what do you think of the Scarlet Witch look?
I like it. I mean, you know, granted their outfits might look a little goofy now, but I mean, you know, they're not actually a part of the Avengers yet, so they're not going to have like the fancy suits. I mean,
costumes, right?
Right. Yeah. So essentially, they're just dressed like how they would be dressed. So I got no problem with the way they look. I mean, you know, they're sticking to the base of the characters and, you know, making it what it has to be to go today. I like it.
Glenn, were you? Do you like the look much better here for these guys? It does kind of look like they're not wearing costumes. It's kind of like they're fighting. Fight is, you know, what they showed up in, apparently, I guess. I'm not sure. But do you like the look they're going for?
I mean, if that's just a regular t-shirt he wears walking around, that's pretty sweet. But it looks like he's, like, going to go surfing or something. I don't know. But yeah, like you said, it's just pretty basic. Looks like she just kind of walks around and they kind of stick to the color schemes of what they have and just using it as ordinary clothing. That's very Joss Whedon-y.
Hawkeye pretty much looks like Hawkeye exactly from the last Avengers movie. Doesn't look all that much different.
Lame ass.
Couldn't show up in the purple outfit, man.
I like how there's a couple of these shots though. Look, are great. It's almost like he's looking up, like, who the fuck is that taking a picture?
Yeah, like, yeah. Essentially
three stories
what
above.
Doing.
He's like, what the shit? Like, someone's taking pictures. There is one real good close up of the Ultron suit guy from a side shot. Aaron, you saw that one, I presume as well.
Oh yeah.
What did you think? We got a better look at the helmet and stuff that they're. Do you think this is going to end up being like an exact reference for what Ultron's going to look like, or just something they threw together for the sake of reference?
No, I think this is a very good base to what we're going to see. As far as the face goes, it's not exactly like what Ultron, as far as the eyes, just the shape isn't quite right to what it would be in the comics. But, I mean, everything else looks fine. You know, and as I said in the post, there's a lot that they can do, like, once they actually get in and touch everything up with the CGI and, you know, finish the face off and all that. So it's he's going to be, you know, big and imposing, not like kind of like slender what he has been in some versions. So it's it looks great. I mean, everything I'm seeing so far, there's nothing I'm seeing where, you know, the butthole hasn't snapped shut yet, so.
And he looks slightly constipated.
Yeah, he's walking a little Frankenstein-y, but I mean, you know, I'm imagining also, like, you know, maybe he would just float instead of walk or something, you know what I mean? Or if he did walk, it'd be very, you know, robotic. You know what I mean? Just no arm swing, just, you know.
They could have just got Peter like Weller Jared, to do that.
There you go. Throw him in the RoboCop costume.
He knows how to walk like a robot.
He sure does.
Maybe not a man, but he knows how to walk like a robot.
Yeah. I wonder if he makes robot sounds while he's walking as well to stay in character to the fullest. Like, as he's moving.
I do robot sounds sometimes when I do the number twos. Makes it feel more efficient, like I'm actually accomplishing, you know, something worthwhile.
Are you sitting there reading off percents as you go?
I do. I use my toes to scroll through the phone.
75%, 85. Oh, shit. Literally. Let's move on, shall we? Did you, any of you, ever get around to seeing that incredibly depressing episode of The Walking Dead I laid out in horrible detail last week?
No, I'm going to skip over that and go right to the next one.
The episode from last night is basically a happy-go-lucky episode by comparison. Nothing near as tragic. In fact, there's all sorts of happy things that occur, or as happy as you can get within the context of zombie apocalypse. And Tasha Yar shows up in that episode, by the way, of Next Generation fame. If you're a big Star Trek fan, if anybody's been wondering what Denise Crosby is up to, she's in The Walking Dead now. So, Glenn, are you going to finally reveal to us when are we going to do this? What episode? We're going to find out why you don't watch The Walking Dead. We're going to have to wait until like episode 100. Are we going to have to wait until we get 5,000 followers on Twitter? How's this going to work?
Both. No. let's say like what we're on 64, like 75, that'll bring us into summer, right? Or no, wait, let's do when The Walking Dead ends. We'll do that.
Oh, when the series is over?
No, like this season. Like, oh, when the season's over, then
well, that's next week. Next week's the season finale.
Well, then fuck it, we're doing it next week then.
So there you go. Tune in, everybody. The question we've all been waiting the answer for. We will find out. We've been waiting for God knows how many weeks since Glenn has started doing this podcast with us. And he's just been teasing us for months. Aaron, since you didn't see it, you'll be sad to know that you missed yet another incredibly vague tease for the beginning of the next season of Mad Men. Lately, we've been seeing...
off a bus?
We've been seeing Jon Hamm getting off of a plane, right?
Was he shopping for socks?
No. They've expanded it out now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Apparently, everyone is at the airport, and they're all doing vague things. And then they show Jon Hamm getting off the airplane, and then tell us that Mad Men is coming. So they're all at an airport. Pete is at a desk. Someone's picking up their luggage. You know what I mean? It's literally that. That is it.
They know how to make teasers. They really do.
They're the masters.
What a bunch of assholes.
Like, at first I just thought, like, God, this is so stupid. And then the more, like, I watch, like, God damn it, they're smart. Because they don't show me anything, and it doesn't spoil anything. It's just, Madman's coming back. Well, shit, something's going to happen with the plane, I guess.
I just figure nothing happens with a plane, and everything happens when they get off the plane. But yeah, that's the, I think that's the amazing arrogance of this show. They're like, we don't have to show you anything. We'll just say Mad Men is coming back and people will watch. And sadly they're right. Cause I'm totally going to watch, but the arrogance of these people, Aaron, we've been railing against them for, it seems like years actually. And it may actually be at least a year and a half or 2 years that we've been complaining about their, the size of the balls on these people to just give us teasers the way they do. But, you know, we'll watch it, I'm sure, and discuss booze and cigarettes, Aaron, like always.
Bullshit.
It's really terrible what they're doing to us. Let me see here. What do we when we talked about the Blu-ray releases last week, those were actually Blu-ray releases for this week, for Tuesday the 25th.
I don't want to sound like a dick, but you've done that a couple of times.
Yeah.
I've just let it slide. So I'm not.
Well, the weird thing is there's usually new releases every single week. And apparently last week there were no Blu-ray releases.
Frozen came out last week.
Did it? Yeah. You know what it is? I think what it is that we sometimes get off schedule a little bit and then I don't actually look at the date. of when the movies are being released. So if you're interested in this week's Blu-ray releases, go listen to last week's episode of the podcast.
Boy, what kind of dick would email about that?
I don't know. Glenn at least had the common sense to keep his mouth shut about it.
I feel like it's not a big deal. Like, at the very least, you just get on Vudu. Like, at least it'll be there. So you're not wrong.
I'm not entirely wrong. Therefore, I have no good segue to talk about shopping on Amazon.com because we have no Blu-rays release dates. But you know what? That's okay. The Amazon thing, people are still buying stuff via that Amazon link, and it's awesome. I should go pull up the list and read some of the things that people have recently purchased. Or should I not? Is that a terrible idea for a podcast? Is that as interesting as... Because Glenn had an idea to kill some time on the podcast as well, which I believe involved asking each other questions, which I don't know if people... Do you think that would be something people would want to listen to us ask each other questions about? I guess we kind of fucking do it every week anyway, don't we? We're like, what did you think about this? What did you think about that?
Well, questions that aren't newsworthy are not... I guess they just aren't relevant at this point.
All right, there you go.
Just random questions. That, you're not wrong. Amazon... You can just shop anytime, especially with the convention season just around the corner.
Word.
So you can just start gearing up for that. Get all your supplies that you need on Amazon, or if you're going to be cheap and just buy a full costume that way, that looks cheap.
Yes.
Or you hand make them all like mine, and they look just like shit. So no, you could also do it that way with Amazon. More than just Blu-ray releases.
That's the beauty of the Amazon link on the Cinema Geekly website. It doesn't cost you anything extra. 8-10% of what you do buy, some of that money comes back to keep the server costs down every single month. So yeah, and fear not, I don't get to find out who bought stuff. I just find out what was bought. So if you're secretly wanting to get a fleshlight or something like that, or you know, buy some sort of really weird, creepy, fetishy thing.
They have to tell us.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to tell us, but we can't find out. We can't find out through Amazon. Amazon keeps that to themselves. We don't get to find out. So, yeah. So I would highly suggest you do buy stuff. Let me see here. Where did we go so wrong with this episode? God's Not Dead.
I don't think we went wrong anywhere.
God's Not Dead, Aaron. I don't know if you heard this or not. It's number 5 at the box office. Kevin Sorbo is in this film.
Well, he was Hercules.
There you go. In a Xena, right? It was in there was a whole show.
Say he was Hercules.
Now he's being replaced by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I don't know if you guys saw that poster of Dwayne The Rock Johnson with long hair and a beard playing a... Apparently he's, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but he's playing a washed up version of Hercules that is going around to towns and stuff and selling his wares to living off of his reputation. And then some shit goes down and he has to really become Hercules again. Apparently that's the idea of the story. So.
Well, it is directed by Brett Ratner, so I'm not surprised.
Is
it really?
It's Hercules and Superman, you guys. It's Kevin Sorbo and Dean Cain. And this God's Not Dead film that's rocking 40% on Rotten Tomatoes with 5 whole reviews.
Did they go the route of Kurt Cameron, those two?
I don't know, maybe. Hey, $8.6 million is what it did. And it barely, 300 Rise of an Empire barely did better than it, earning $8.7 million. Mr. Peabody and Sherman fell to third place, $11.7 million. The Muppets Most Wanted flick debuted 16.5 million, 77%. That can't be good.
That seems a little low.
That seems really low. It's doing pretty good review wise. 77% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I don't think is nearly as good as the first movie was, but it's not being shit on or whatever. It's critics like it. It's just not as universally loved, but it appears to be doing not nearly as well. Like that, you know, maybe it was a one trick pony, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out as it goes on. But Divergent crushed it. This Divergent film. 56 million it did on its opening weekend, which they've got to be considering to be pretty good. I don't know if this is based off of another teen book series or something like that. It certainly looks like it is. It is.
Yep.
They gotta stop doing these things. There's like that City of Bones movie that's like a... God damn it. They're everywhere, Aaron. They're everywhere. Teen fantasy book series turned into films. Well, they're all over the place.
Oh, we need to get writing a teen fantasy.
I guess. That's the way to rake in the cash these days. Divergent is 40% right now with over 139 reviews. So there you go. Yeah, it's poorly reviewed. Opening...
Is it ill-advised?
It wasn't even ill-advised. I didn't even say it was an ill-advised plot.
But it's got Kate Winslet in it. It has to be.
That's true. That is the one tie. Her previous film did have a plot that was very ill-advised.
Kate Winslet not being on a vote was very ill-advised.
That's right. The opening in theaters this week crowd includes a limited release of Breathe In with Guy Pearce and Felicity Jones. How many of these, Glenn, you're out of the group. You're the one most likely to see limited release films just because of your well-known film snobbery. How many of those limited release pictures do you end up seeing in the course of a year?
It kind of depends. Like, I get some of the limited releases later on if they have some success, like Mud, Blue Jasmine. I never saw them in theaters, but right. I'm this weekend I may see Grand Budapest Hotel.
That looked like it was going to be good. Yeah,
I really want to see it. I just don't know. I know I'm gonna see Noah for sure this weekend. We haven't decided if we're going to go to Dallas or not. And if we go to Dallas, we may just kill a day and, you know, just watch both of them. We'll kind of see how it goes. Because I have no idea how long Noah's going to be, but I'm going to see that movie because Aronofsky knows how to make a damn movie.
The if you like The Raid Redemption, The Raid 2, I believe, is the sequel to it. It's coming out in limited release. Positive reviews thus far, 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's out of roughly 30 reviews. There's a movie coming out about Cesar Chavez in limited release as well. I don't know if anybody was aware of that. So if you're really interested to see Michael Pena play Cesar Chavez, this is the movie for you. John Malkovich is also in it. Rosario Dawson, America Ferrera is in it as well. That's in limited release. Let me see here. Is Noah the only big wide release? No, Sabotage is coming out in wide release as well. How could I have forgotten? Schwarzenegger, Sam Worthington, Terrence Howard, not screened for critics in advance. Sabotage.
You say that. I saw the trailer and I thought it actually looked pretty good.
I mean, it could be. I mean, there's actually a couple. I think there's at least two movies this year that were not screened ahead of time, which usually spells doom, and they ended up being RoboCop, I believe, was one of them, and that ended up getting reviewed pretty favorably. And I think there was another one as well that was not pre-screened for critics as well that also did pretty well.
Jack Ryan movie?
Hey,
the Ryan movie, I think, was...
The Last Stand looked good from its trailer. That's all I'm going to say.
But yeah, that's coming out. That's in wide release. And then Darren Aronofsky's Noah is the other big one. In case you were wondering about the runtime on that one, Glenn, it's 2 hours, 19 minutes.
Oh, okay. It's not too bad.
So there you go. It's not too bad at all. Russell Crowe, Jennifer Connelly, Emma Watson, Ray Winstone, Odin himself, Anthony Hopkins, is in it. Yeah. So giant cast, great director.
He is so good.
Playing very insanely loosely with the story of Noah from the Bible. And
well, I think the Bible plays pretty loosely
with it as well. Yeah. I was going to say, what are you trying to tell me that a dude can't live to be 900 years old, Glenn? Is this what you're telling me?
No, I'm not saying that.
He can't if he's that, the Highlander.
Saying that maybe his boat could have had a fleet, yeah. And not just one boat,
or
like just an armada, of
or that there was Noah's like, Ark. Or that there was like magic and fire and explosions and giant battles
and
Emma Watson.
People to build a giant boat.
Pretty sure Emma Watson wasn't hanging around. You know what I mean? Yeah, but Basically, it looks like
the movie. Is that the magic?
Maybe. I'm pretty excited to see it. Actually, I've liked everything Aronofsky's done. Recent Black Swan, I thought was really good.
The gut puncher.
If we get an Emma Watson, the
wrestler.
Scene,
the wrestler was great.
Like,
yeah.
The one scene in Black Swan in Noah, I will go see that movie.
Oh yeah, I want to see Emma Watson get knee deep in some biblical muff
with Jennifer Connelly.
Anybody, I don't give a
you
shit.
Know, that wouldn't be the first time Aronofsky's put that through, made that woman go through that kind of thing.
No, that's true. I should note that
Requiem from a Dream, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
he was supposed to do the last Wolverine movie. That's why I was really excited for it at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he was like, "Man, I really don't want to spend 9 months doing this after getting divorced for Rachel Weisz." So he didn't make it.
And some of the early reviews are in, by the way, for Captain America: The Winter Soldier, in case people are interested. Out of 26 reviews, I'm just doing some reviews.
I'm sorry. I hit mute and I realized that mute does it not stop me from hearing you.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure I didn't hear the number because I want to go clean bill. I don't want to have any biases going into this thing.
So what you don't want to know is that out of 26 reviews, it's 92% currently on Rotten Tomatoes.
I avoid it with the Avengers. Like I didn't know. I stayed away from Rotten Tomatoes and the internet in general as far as going the Avengers route because I did not want to know anything as far as how it was going to be received going into it.
Aaron, there are two negative reviews for this film.
Cocksuckers.
Are they like, is it like from China and like
no, they're both
North
they're
Korea?
They're both British.
Oh, well, they're just jealous.
I believe the most I'm having trouble figuring out which one of these is the more reputable website. It's either the Daily Telegraph or the shiznit.co.uk.
Actually, the shiznit.co.uk.
We need to get some more reviews up on the website because if the shiznit.co.uk can get listed on Rotten Tomatoes, we need to get on Rotten Tomatoes for sure. There, I know there's definitely
you
have
just
to have
submit your stuff.
You have to have so many reviews available on a wide variety of subject matter and stuff.
What's the number?
I don't know. I'd have to go look at it again. I'll tell you guys when we're off the air, but. The
shiznit.co.uk.
Yeah, and they said, Aaron, exactly what you'd expect from Marvel now, and as such, this is the first film in its catalog that doesn't feel particularly fresh or exciting, which seems to be the absolute 100% opposite of what everyone is saying.
Right?
Like, everyone is saying, it's fresh and exciting, it's a different thing! Like, I swear this dude has to be just trolling. He's like, it's pretty much the same and it's not fresh or exciting.
What's the UK know about fresh and exciting? They still have a monarchy.
There you go. Get with it. You guys need a president.
Scurvy fucks.
Yeah. What a bunch of
wild. I thought it sounded like he called in from like space just to say that and then get right back out.
Spice. All right. That'll about do it for this week. That'll do, guys. That'll do. Let me see here. For all the goodness that is Cinema Geekly, in one easy location, cinemageekly.com is where you want to head, and from there you can branch on out to Twitter, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, Tumblr, all at Cinema Geekly. Of course, contribute to that mailbag info at cinemageekly.com for when we have a really rainy day around these parts and we need to fill it up with your thoughts and feelings about the world of movie and TV, and we can talk about it then instead of the nonsense that would be otherwise happening on this podcast. So please contribute to that mailbag. As far as the podcast goes, we're on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher Radio and the TuneIn Radio app, which is available on multiple platforms. But if you are a user of iTunes or Stitcher, please rate and review the podcast on those individual apps. That always helps out so much when people go looking for movie-type podcasts. Makes it a little bit more visible to them. We bring in more people to the Cinema Geekly family. So please do that. Aaron, you can beg next time. I'm tired of begging for these people.
I'm not begging these, but fuck that.
Aaron's like, I will alienate this audience.
We have a few
them.
Thousand Twitter followers for the entire Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still squandering away at 15 people. Man, what a bunch of cynical dicks.
It took me years just to get to 100-some, so... Hmm. Twitter's an unforgiving place.
But we have a voice. We have people that listen to us.
Apparently.
They're secretly trolling right now. That's what they're doing. It's the worst kind of troll, is that you can't lash out back.
Perhaps. It could be. We're getting followed by more and more verified accounts.
Mm.
So I've noticed we did end up picking up Chris Gore. As you mentioned before, we also got Andrew Main. He has a show on A&E that I wasn't aware of. So yeah, he is following us on Twitter.
How or why?
I don't know. Jose Joey Bats is still following.
Joey
us,
Bats, man. Yeah, that's our man. Yeah.
He should dub the for our Spanish audience.
Awesome. Get out of Jose Bautista.
Where's that TARDIS noise when I fucking need it? Jeez.
I'm telling you guys, Tigers are looking for a left fielder right now. Dierks is out for 3 or 4 months, so Bautista, I know you're a right fielder, but we could use you out in Comerica, so just come on over. Forget about that contract that the Blue Jays are paying you. I'm sure Mike Ilitch can sell a few, I don't know what, 6 million pizzas or whatever to satisfy your contract.
Maybe we could tempt him with a Cinema Geekly t-shirt.
There you go, sir. by the way, cheap plug, cafepress.com/CinemaGeekly for Cinema Geekly merch. But might be making another announcement about merch fairly soon in the coming weeks, which is basically saying don't bother shopping at Cafe Press because we may have
too many people bitched about it.
I may have another deal in the works here soon. So stay tuned for that, and stay tuned for next week because we're going to be back with another podcast. And for Cody Kelly, Glenn Beauvais, Aaron De Losa, I'm Anthony Lewis, and we will be back next week on the Cinema Geekly podcast.